for the message of that song. He's a personal Savior. Amen. He loves us. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. The book of Genesis, chapter 50. While you're turning there, let me just add a couple of things. We've been in a series of messages now for quite some time on forgiveness. And to be honest, the more I dig into the subject, the more incredible it is in my heart and in my life. And so we're going to take a little while to kind of dig through this, because what I'm learning and what I'm studying and learning in this is really, truly, it's very freeing in my life. Let me also say thank you for the way you've responded. Many of you have questioned and asked me several different things and different thoughts as to what it is. We said early in this series of lessons that one of the keys to really living in freedom, living in with a forgiving spirit, living in the aspect of knowing that you're a forgiving person, is to really be able to identify and define what forgiveness is, but also to define what it is not. And I think, and as I've been digging through this, and I've been studying this now for quite some time, it's really remarkable to me when you really press in, you see it from a biblical perspective, but then you also, you know, we have to also understand that when you look at it from a biblical perspective, you're not just doing so in an attempt to kind of fill your mind with what the Bible says about it. You want then to be able to take what you've learned and apply it in your life. You want to make application with that. So we see this in Scripture. Now, in Genesis chapter 50, we're going to summarize really very quickly chapters 37 through chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. And we're going to do it in just a few minutes of time. And then what I want to do is give you some thoughts, give you some practical truths of some things that I've come across that have helped me. I love to read. I try to make it a discipline in my life. It's been haven't read as much as I should lately, but I've tried to make it a discipline in my life. And again, the same is true in our life as believers. If we want to live in victory, if we want to live as free in Christ and free of bitterness and free of hatred and free from all kinds of different ways that we can go, if we want to live in freedom, then we have to make some choices. And really the thought around the series, and we gave it a series title weeks ago, and we'll continue in the same thought, is basically the choice is yours. The choice is yours to live in freedom or to not live in freedom. And to be honest with you, as we've said and we've talked about this much, it's a lot better to live in freedom than it is to be consumed with bitterness. And we'll show you now. In Genesis chapter 50, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Now, contextually, this is a story of Joseph. Joseph in Scripture, you start in chapter 37, and we may eventually back up and really exposit the life of Joseph, but just for time's sake, for illustrative purpose, Joseph, he starts out in chapter 37, he's daddy's favorite. And the Bible says that. You know, it's amazing to me when you look at that. I mean, it's one thing as a parent to be accused of it. It's another thing for God's word to say that, hey, you know, he's loved of his dad. I mean, he's loved quite a bit. And so he's a sibling. He has many siblings, and they get jealous of him. And so let's read the text, and then we'll back up and give you some context so you understand it. Here in Genesis chapter 50, let's start in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite of us all the evil which we did unto him." Now, we're going back a ways. He said Joseph was 17 years old when it all began to unravel, when his brothers began to do things to him and show hatred to him because they're jealous of him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, verse 16, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Notice verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, notice the response. This is one of the most incredible verses of Scripture in all the Word of God that really fleshes out what it means to truly forgive someone. The Bible tells us, verse 20, this is Joseph's response to the brothers that as a 17-year-old young man had lied on him, threw him in a pit, took the coat that his dad had made for him, dipped it in blood, told the dad that he was killed by animals. They sold their brother. He's in that pit. They then sell him into bondage. Joseph goes into slavery. He gets put into he's in jail. So many things. And now notice the text. Look what Joseph says. Verse 20. But as for you, remember contextually, he's talking to his brothers. Ye thought evil against me. Literally, he's saying, you intended, to his brothers, you intended evil against me. But God meant it unto good. Wow. That's powerful. That is a powerful word. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And don't miss this next statement. And spake kindly unto them. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're thankful, Father, for this illustration of forgiveness. This is a powerful, powerful passage. And God, I ask that you'll use it in the lives of your people here tonight. I pray that you'll use it, God, for those that are watching by internet, and we know there are many. We pray, God, that you'll use it and, Lord, encourage their hearts and let them know that, God, it's by your grace. And as we yield to you and as we give to you, as we give our lives as your child, as we yield ourselves to you, relying not on our strength, but relying in the strength of the precious Holy Spirit that lives in us, God, it's only then that we could really be able to express like Joseph did and see your sovereign hand on all the circumstances that seemed bad in our life as something that you were using to give glory and honor to you. So Lord, we love you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray and amen. Now, when you look at Joseph's life, and again, we are just hitting the surface of it, as far as with the story of Joseph. And again, we are going to eventually back up and really dig into it and look at it from the perspective of all that Joseph went through. Because when you look at the statement that we read for you, as Joseph is looking at his brothers and he says to them, his dad has died. Before his dad dies, his dad leaves word to then take to Joseph, right? His dad says, hey, I want you, I'm going to die. You take this message back to Joseph and you tell Joseph to please, I'm asking him to please forgive his brothers. They done evil to him. So we see, what do we see in this text? We see that in the context of forgiveness, there, first of all, there's an acknowledgement of the hurt. You see, sometimes when people, and again, I'm getting ahead, but I'm going to come back, but I got two sermons to preach to you today, all right? So we won't be here too long. But we see that often when somebody gets hurt, one of the natural things, and I've done it, and this is not good, and I've done this. One of the ways we can sometimes respond when someone hurts us is to say something like this: oh, it doesn't matter, man. It's no big deal. So what have we done? We're not acknowledging the hurt. So there has to be an acknowledgement of hurt first in order to then go forward to choose forgiveness. So there is an acknowledgement of hurt here. Joseph knows it. Jacob, his dad, knows it. His own brothers, they know it. They know that they've hurt it, that they've hurt him. And yet we see Joseph looks at him, and we saw this and we read this, and we're going to really press in on some of these thoughts. Joseph said, listen, they fall before him, and Joseph says, whoa, wait a minute, get up, man. I'm not God. I'm not in the place of God. And that's, boy, that's a good word. That's a good word right there. You and I, we're not in the place of God, right? When somebody hurts us, you know, there's a natural sometimes desire to want to inflict hurt on them and act as, you know, judge and jury and try to hurt them. Listen, we're not God, friend. Leave that to the Lord Jesus. Let God be the one that, takes care of it. So Joseph says, listen, I'm not God. And this is such a powerful story. He goes, God had a reason for this. God had a reason for my difficulty in my teenage years. I mean, Joseph is fleshing this out. You know, sold into slavery. Daddy's favorite. Joseph, you say, why were they mad at Joseph? Well, there was one time when Joseph basically said, hey, you guys, one day, I've had a dream, and you guys, can you imagine saying this to the brother, to your siblings? Hey, I just want to let you know, one of these days, you all going to serve me. I mean, that's what he does. You're going to serve me one of these days. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're a sibling of someone that has that kind of arrogance and that kind of spirit, boy, that'll bless you, won't it? If you're a sibling, wouldn't it be, I mean, isn't it awesome when your dad flat out says, oh, I love him more than you? That'll bless you. So there's some animosity that is created. And yet, they sell him into bondage. He then gets taken and continues in the bondage. He's in jail. He's promoted. He starts working in Potiphar's house. Potiphar has a high position, and he works in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife comes on to him. Joseph flees. She makes accusation that he was trying to, you know, take advantage of her sexually. So there we go again. Joseph is lied upon, and he's put back, and he continues. God continues to show favor even in the midst of all his calamity, even in the midst of all of his adversity, even in the midst of all of the difficult circumstances that he finds himself in. God begins to show favor in Joseph's life. He begins to interpret dreams, right? He begins to interpret dreams. Says, hey, you know, there's going to be good years. We've got to also prepare for lean years. There's going to be famine years. So, I mean, his whole story, I mean, from chapter 37 to chapter 50, you may want to write this in your mind. From chapter 37 to chapter 50 in Joseph's life, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of, what's the thought I'm thinking of here? There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of lying, not on Joseph's part, but lying about Joseph. He's Potiphar's wife. You say, Pastor, yeah, but why is it? Why is it that people sometimes, they can be mean? Why is it that people sometimes can do things to you that you didn't deserve, we don't deserve? Why do people do that? Well, let me answer that in a simple but yet perhaps hopeful way. Because they're sinners. They're sinners. Even saved sinners sometimes do things that they shouldn't. And they say things that they shouldn't. And they do things that they shouldn't. But you got to understand this. And I've said this, and sometimes it sounds cliche, but I'm telling you, it's a powerful thought if you process it in this context. If you're a believer in Jesus, meaning you're born again, if you're born again, on the authority of God's holy word, nothing can come into your life without God allowing it. You got to rest in that. You've got to rest in that. Now, does that lessen the blow sometimes? Not necessarily, right? So what have we covered so far? What have we talked about in the context of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not? You know, we've looked at a lot. I mean, in the context of what it is not, forgiveness. When we offer forgiveness to someone, number one, it's not approval. We're not giving approval for, okay, yeah, what you did to me was okay. We're not giving approval. So that's what forgiveness is not. It's not forgetting. You see, because the question is asked, have you really forgiven someone if you continue to remember what happened? Well, let me answer that.
So, I mean, again, so have you really forgiven someone if you continue to remember what happened? Well, again, since forgiveness is not forgetting, then just because you remember does not mean you have unforgiveness in your heart. Here's the second thing. Have you really forgiven? Have you really forgiven someone if you won't let a lying, cheating, abusive person back into your life? Again, since forgiveness is not approval, then standing your ground for what is right does not mean you have unforgiveness in your heart. Question number three. Have you really forgiven if you won't trust the person who hurt you? You see, there's sometimes an idea that, well, in order to forgive someone, then that means you got to totally trust them again. Well, first of all, let's back up for a second. We're trying to bring to light the proper definition and understanding of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not trust. You got to get a hold of that. You say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. If I've forgiven them, then I've got to trust them again. No. That may never happen again. It may. It's like restoration, right? Forgiveness is not restoration. Those are two separate things. And oftentimes, and as a pastor, there have been times when situations have happened in the lives of the members of Emmanuel Baptist, and they've been big deals. You know what I mean? They've been big sinful deals, and the person has repented, and the person has, you know, sought forgiveness, and forgiveness has been granted. The church has forgiven the individual, but you got to understand something. I've said to many people that in situations like this, I've said to them, here's what we're going to do. Yes, you are forgiven, and yes, as your pastor, I've forgiven you, and the church will forgive you. I said, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to set you in the pew for a year, and you're not going to do anything. Well, preacher, wait a minute. That contradicts forgiveness. No, it does not. That basically comes down to common sense, Brother Tommy. It's common sense. It's not a matter of saying, okay, we forgive you. You embezzled $40 million. We forgive you. Now, let's be silly now for just a minute, but let's illustrate it. Let's imagine someone stole $40 billion from Emmanuel Baptist. Steve Wiggins was like, woo, would to God we had $40 billion. We'd do a parking lot or two. We'd parking lot this whole city, man. We had $40 million. But let's imagine somebody, let's say somebody is in a position of treasurer, and they embezzle, right? They embezzle. They embezzle money. It's found out. They repent of it. They pay it back. They repent. We forgive them as a church family. Now, let me ask you a question. Would it be wise to then look at them and say, well, everybody makes mistakes, and that is true. That's a true statement, and often we've said that when people have repented. Listen, everybody has made mistakes, and yes. Would it be a wise thing to then just look at them and say, well, you know, it's okay. We forgive you, you've embezzled, but we want you to keep your title. We want you to continue to be the treasurer. Talk to me. Would that be wise to do that? Lord, no. Lord have mercy, no. I mean, that would be silly to do that. So often, again, forgiveness is not restoration. Restoration is often a process where we restore the person, maybe not back to the same position, but we restore them back to fellowship in the context of service, in the context of ministry. We've had people, as a pastor, we've had people that have blown it, that have made poor choices, and they've done things they shouldn't have done. They've sinned greatly, only to repent. We forgive them, but then we restore them, and they've gone on to be able to serve again, maybe not in the same capacity, but they've been able to serve again in other ministries that, and he said, Pastor, well, I thought once you blow it, you blow it. Once you blow it, man, I mean, they might as well look for another church. Are you kidding me? No, if a church, listen, if a church cannot forgive and restore people back to fellowship, we're missing it. We're missing it. So again, forgiveness is not trust. Have you really forgiven someone if you don't trust the person who hurt you? Since forgiveness is not trust, then keeping your guard up does not mean you have unforgiveness in your heart. There are people, I mean, honestly, there's family. My wife knows this. There's some in my own family. I love them with all my heart. I've forgiven them. But we're not hanging out all the time. You say, well, if you really forgive them, you'd forget about it. Again, let's examine it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is not approval. So we've learned some of this. And again, just to really drive it home, it's not justifying. Forgiveness is not justifying. Forgiveness is not an obligation. Forgiveness is not an obligation. For example, if I'll use myself. If I offend someone, if I hurt someone, let's say I do it intentionally, which God is my witness. I never try to hurt someone intentionally. But let's just for illustrative purpose, let's say in my own life, I intentionally hurt somebody. If I then were to go to them and say, hey man, I messed up, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Or let me say it like this. And I go to them and say to them, you got to forgive me, right? You're a Christian. You got to forgive me. They're not obligated to do that. Now, we know biblically it's best if they do. But just because you're telling them they need to do it doesn't mean they have to do that. We know it's better if they will. We know it's better if they do. We know the Bible absolutely tells us that we should be a forgiving person and the principles that teach us that. But again, it's not, they're not obligated to do that. Forgiveness, it's not giving in. It's not a matter of just giving in. It's not a matter of reconciliation. It's not a matter of rehiring. It's not a matter of trust. Forgiveness is not getting even. So then, what is it then? What is forgiveness? In the context of Scripture, what is it? Forgiveness is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. I mean, can you imagine in the context of Joseph? Here is his brothers. His brothers have, I mean, we know they've wronged him. They lied. I mean, they looked at their dad and said, he's dead, Dad. Here's his coat. There's blood all over it. Can you imagine the hurt they inflicted into their dad's heart, into their dad's life? It's not a matter of saying it doesn't exist. It's a matter of saying, you know what? I've got a choice to make here. I can either choose to hold on to the grudge, to hold on to the hurt, to hold on to the pain, or I can forgive. Let me also say this. In the context of what we're talking about, we're talking about it from a personal standpoint, meaning 99% of the time, in the context of this, we're talking about what has happened to you personally. Now, as a husband, as a father, as an uncle, as a friend, I've had people that I love and care about, I've had them get hurt. And buddy, I tell you what, it's tough. It's tough because you want to really defend them. You want to really come at and, you know, take up their side and all this kind of stuff. But here's the point. And those are all good. I'm not saying that's bad that you want to, let me back that up. You don't want to get even. That's a bad thing. You don't want to hurt that person that hurts your friend. But ultimately, the injury has happened to that person. And that person will be the one, like your friend. Okay, this person's hurt your friend. That person has been injured, so therefore, they're the one that are going to have to either choose to forgive or choose to live with bitterness if they don't forgive. So what do I, what duty should I do as a friend? As a friend to that person that's been hurt, I've got an opportunity now to speak truth into my friend's life. I've got, and honestly, that's happened. My two pastor buddies, Jeff and Andy, we've had conversations like this. We've had conversations when they've been hurt and people have hurt them. And I remember calling Brother Fain several years ago when he had a situation, and it was a bad situation. Somebody hurt him deeply. Somebody that was very close to him. And, you know, later we found out he was very conniving and was a liar and, you know, was doing things behind his back. And I remember talking to Jeff, and Jeff was hurt. And I said to him, I said, Bud, I said, here's the deal. I said, give it time. I said, I promise you, I said, if you give it time, I said, the Lord Jesus will, he'll bring it to light. I said, God's going to bring it to light. And I said, don't let it. I said, please do not let it, because here's what it can do. When we get hurt, what it can do then is it can rattle us to the point where we're like, that's it. I'm not going to trust anyone again. Don't let them win. Well, I'll never trust anybody again. Well, I promise you, guess what's going to happen? That's really a sign of unforgiveness. I'm never going to trust them again. I'm never going to trust anybody again. They hurt me, and I'm not going to allow myself to be hurt. Well, if you're going to be involved in people, with people, you're probably going to be hurt. You're probably going to be hurt along the way. If you're going to be involved in ministry, whatever capacity, you're probably going to get hurt along the way. In marriage, you're probably going to get hurt. So what do we do? Do we then say, I'll never trust anybody again, pull the wall up, and dare anybody in there? Or are we then going to try to be like Christ and say, you know what, I'm going to choose to forgive? Again, we've got to define it in such a way that we understand what it is, what it isn't, what it is and what it isn't. What is forgiveness? It's acknowledging the hurt. It's keeping your eyes open. I'll give you a few of these and we'll be done. You're aware of the hurt. It's keeping your eyes open. You're aware of the hurt, yet you are still willing to forgive. You see the pain for what it is. You know who did it, and you are honest with yourselves. Your eyes are wide open. No pretending or playing games. And with what you see, you're willing to forgive and move on. That's a powerful phrase, move on. Because sadly, and I've seen it, I've seen people that get stuck. They've been hurt, and they get stuck right there. Well, preacher, I quit church 20 years ago. I got hurt. And I'll never, ever be part of a church again. Well, you know what you've done? You got stuck 20 years ago. You haven't been able to move on. And that in itself, that's a bad thing. It's not a matter of saying, we talked to somebody very recently, Tracy Shear, was talking about churches and finding a church and how this church is this and this church is that and this church is that. You'll never find a perfect church. Amen? You'll never find a perfect church. And if you do find a perfect church, please don't join it. Don't join it. You know why? Because you'll mess up its perfection. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. You'll never find a perfect church. Here's a thought for you. We don't have perfect families. Sometimes family members hurt us, right? Sometimes they do. You say, well, if they love me, why do they do it? Because they're sinners. That's why. I'm telling you, under God, that seems like a blanket statement, but I'm telling you, that's a biblical truth. We're sinners, and sometimes we give in to the sinful nature as opposed to the spirit that lives in us that is of God, and we give in to that, and we sometimes hurt intentionally. Sometimes we don't hurt. Sometimes we hurt people we don't even mean to hurt it, but we hurt them. So we see in this context, so forgiveness is keeping your eyes open. Forgiveness is showing mercy. Mercy is the last thing, as we've said, it's the last thing in the world they deserve. but it's what they need. You got to get a hold of the text of Joseph's, the story in Joseph, of Joseph in Genesis 50. You got to understand this. He had the authority to have them killed. You realize that, right? He had the authority, no doubt in my mind. He had a high position in the land. He had the authority to say, you know what? You burned me. You'll never burn me again. You'll never hurt me again. Lock them up. He could have done that. But what did he extend? He extended mercy. Look at this text. This is beautiful language. Look at the text. Verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you. He said, I'm going to provide for you. Why? They were in the middle of a famine. They needed food. Joseph had the ability to meet a need in their life. And Joseph says, don't fear. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. But then notice this. We talked about emotion. We went through a 3-day, myself and Brad and my wife and Ms. Tracy Shear and several others from the community. We went through a 3-day, very intensive training. It was phenomenal training. SISM training. Wofford again eventually. But powerful, powerful, powerful training. And one of the things that they really brought out was the importance of relationships. And having relationships with people and having an opportunity to walk into somebody's pain when they're in need, walk into their pain and help them and give them the necessary tools to then to be able to walk through the pain without it absolutely destroying them. And when I look in this text, what I see in this text is Joseph, in essence, he's doing the same thing. They're in a famine. They've lost their dad. And Joseph says to him, I'm going to provide for you. So you want to see mercy fleshed out? He could have had him killed. He could have had him put in jail. But he doesn't do it. Verse 21. Fear you not. Now again, what is this based on? I got to interject this. The Bible says, he says, now therefore. Students. Anytime you come to the words wherefore or therefore in the Bible, what do? We stop and we see why it's therefore, right, David? We stop and we see what it's there for. He says, now, therefore, fear not. Now, he's basing that on what? Verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. You intended evil, but God meant it unto good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, based on all of that pain, God isn't the author of all that pain, but God is the sustainer who allows that pain to be used in my life to give me an opportunity to then bless others who don't deserve to be blessed. And Joseph says, verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I'll nourish you. I love this next thing, this next statement, and your little ones. Joseph's niece and nephews. I'll provide for you. I'm going to provide for your little ones. And notice, this is so good, man. The Bible says, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I love the words. You know what literally in the original language, you know what the statement when he says he spake kindly unto them, you know what that literally means? He spoke to their heart. He spoke to their heart. Now, when I look at this and we flesh this out, we've talked about how in the context it's Forgiveness is keeping no record of wrong. It's living free from bitterness. It's taking responsibility. It's being honest about reality. We talked about recently how it's an attitude, forgiveness is. It's a lifestyle. But again, set up, Trey. Trey, set up, bud. We got again. We hit them very, very briefly, and we're going to flesh them out next time, but forgiveness is not approval. You're not approving what they've done. Trey, stop. You're not approving what they've done. You're not setting yourself up and being naive and saying, well, Pastor, I forgave the person, but does that mean I've got to always be like it was like before? No. Absolutely not. Because forgiveness is not approval. It's not trust. Forgiveness isn't trust. Forgiveness isn't reconciliation. You see, because if we're not careful, we can take forgiveness and make forgiveness be something that it is not. We've got to define it. We've got to define it correctly. You say, yeah, but Pastor, if I've hurt somebody and they've forgiven me, then they need to let me back into their life. No, they do not. No, they do not. And on the authority of Scripture, no, they do not. Now, granted, having Christ in our life, let's flesh it out even harder. And I'm going to be very careful because we have children in this room. What about kids? What about young people who were, I got to be careful because of the wording. What about young people when they were young and maybe the father did something very inappropriately to them? You adults know what I'm talking about. And as they grow up, does that mean, okay, they need to forgive their dad? Yeah, they need to forgive him for what he done. But does that mean then that all forgiveness, we forgive, everything's okay, now they have children, does that mean they then allow their father to watch their children because they've forgiven? No, that's not what that means. No way. It's not trust. Forgiveness is not trust. Trust, perhaps, hopefully, prayerfully, may be built back to a certain degree. But I got news for you, friend. If somebody has hurt my children, me forgiving that, and I hate to even use that illustration because it honestly just infuriates me. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I don't understand it. I can't understand how anybody can hurt a child. And it's a good thing I'm not a judge. It's a good thing I'm not. It's a good thing I'm not. Has nothing to do with. Forgiveness is a matter of you choosing to forgive so that you can be free. A person's hurt you, choose to forgive so that you can be free. It's not a matter of you having to trust them again. It's not a matter of you having to let them back into your world again so that you could perhaps be stabbed in the back again. No. But what we do see Joseph do to his brothers, they didn't deserve any of the goodness that he blessed them with. But he looked at it. He was able to do it because, this is a good word, he was able to respond the way he responded because he looked back over his life, Brother Ryan, through the goggles of God's grace. Through the goggles of God's mercy. And he looked back, no doubt in my mind, he looked back to life when he was a 17-year-old kid, daddy's favorite, beautiful little coat that his daddy made for him. And no doubt he rubbed it in his brother's faces. Hey, look at the coat daddy made me. Hey, you little punk. Come on out here. We're going to talk about this, right? Can you flesh it out? Right? Hey, look at that hole in the floor, hole in the ground, Joseph. What are you talking about? Boom, they knock him in the hole. Let me out, guys. Come on, let me out. Right? No. We're going to make some money off of you, dude. They sell him into slavery. You say, Pastor, here's what I'm learning about this forgiveness thing. It isn't easy, is it? No, it's not. And you may find yourself bouncing in and out forgiveness and unforgiveness. You may find yourself one day, oh, I've forgiven them. And then the next day, a thought come, and man, it go right back to, it's a process. It's a one act. Yeah, sure. Forgiveness is an act. We choose right then to forgive. But because we're human, sometimes we have to constantly go back and go back and go back and ask ourselves, am I going to respond the way the world does? Or am I going to respond the way God's word teaches? You see, because by Joseph responding to his brothers the way he did, it not only blessed them, it blessed their children. By you perhaps responding the way you will towards somebody that has hurt you, it perhaps has the ability to bless them, but maybe their children, or even your children. I said to you last time I preached this, I have kids that are watching me. And my kids know. My kids aren't stupid. My kids have seen people hurt me. My kids have seen people hurt my wife and I. But I hope, I mean this, I hope my prayer is that, yes, they've seen people hurt us, but I hope they've also seen their father choose to forgive that person. Their mother choose to forgive the person or people. You say, Pastor, yeah, but people take advantage of that. Yeah, that's all right. But me forgiving them for what they did to me, or my wife forgiving them for what they did to her, it's not about them. It's about me. It's about my wife. It's about choosing to live in freedom. Because what I've also seen is some that have hurt us over the years are the most bitter, the most miserable people on the face of the planet. And sweet friend, by God's grace, I don't ever want to become that. I don't. I do not want to become that. They're bitter, and I know in my heart they're bitter because perhaps 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, they were hurt and they got stuck right there. They didn't forgive. And it has poisoned the rest of their life, the rest of their relationships. You've seen it. I've seen it. I don't want to be that way. That's not an arrogant statement. That's not a better than statement. That's a statement because I want to be a person that lives in forgiveness. As your pastor, standing flat-footed by this podium, this pulpit, I promise you this, I've searched my heart, and God has the permission to reveal it if this isn't true. I have no unforgiveness towards any person in my life at this moment. That's the truth. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm telling you, it's not worth it. It's not worth me not forgiving. It's not worth me holding a grudge. It's not worth me holding on to the hurt. Again, it's forgiveness is not trust. It's not approval. It's not reconciliation. It's not, giving in. No. Forgiveness is a choice to be free. That's what it is. It's a choice to be free. And that's why if you're here tonight, and Brother Gary even prayed this, if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, watching the internet, watching my Facebook Live, you do not have Christ as your Savior, sweet friend, the most important thing that you need in your life is for God to forgive you of being a sinner. You've sinned against Him. You've broken His law, just like I had. And you need to cry out to God and ask God to forgive you for that. And believe in your heart that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day, and He alone is Savior who can take you to heaven when you die. And if you'll trust Him and ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to save you, He'll do that. He'll change your life.
And you then can live a life and walk in freedom, knowing that all of your sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can walk in victory because of what Jesus has done in your life. I pray God uses this series. I mean it. And it is pregnant with truth. There's so much truth. And I pray God gives me the wisdom to teach it to you so you can grab a hold of it. Because it'll set you free, man. It's doing that in my heart and life. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's coming, going to lead us in a song. If you're here tonight and maybe you need to respond. Maybe the Lord's touched your heart. I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But perhaps God has touched your heart in an area, and you just maybe need to come to the altar and just want to pray about it, or maybe God just right there in your pew, you know, the Lord, Holy Spirit's put his finger on your heart in an area, and maybe you just right there need to just pause, stop, and pray, and just thank God for doing that, and thank God for helping you in that. Whatever it is, we give you an opportunity to respond. What's your number, bud?
317.
317. You come as we sing.